kriechend im Fang.
Welcome back to Parlando and another opera talk. As you might have noticed, it's our first English episode. And from now on, those will be also part of this originally German podcast. Today's episode features one of today's most exciting opera singers. She really is an international singer, not only because she is singing all over the world, but also because of her family background. In the family tree of the American soprano, you can find Portuguese as well as Puerto Rican roots. Also, she is singing in all possible languages, mastering likewise the Italian, French, or German repertoire. There is this indescribable positivity and excitement which is surrounding her, and I'm happy to present you my interview with incredible soprano Nadine Sierra. Made for Opera is the title of her newest album with Deutsche Grammophon, featuring some tragic ladies of the opera. I was lucky to meet Nadine here in Berlin, where she was working with Gustavo Dudamel at the Philharmonie, and she was kind enough to sit down with me before the concert to give me some insights about the new recording and her exciting career. Only being in her early 30s, she's able to show an impressive biography. In 2016, she made her debut as Gilda in Teatro alla Scala di Milano, a role she already sung some months earlier, making her house debut at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. She's singing in all the major opera houses and concert halls with a variety of repertoire, may it be Susanna or Contessa in Le Nozze di Figaro, Musetta in La Bohème, Lucia di Lammermoor, or Sophie in Der Rosenkavalier. Her debut album, There's a Place for Us, was a huge success when it came out more than 3 years ago. Now it was time for a new release to show some highlights of her current repertoire. Made for Opera, a title with a statement, and there's no doubt. I wanted to know from Nadine when she found out herself that she is made for opera.
My grandmother, my Portuguese grandmother, she had always wanted to be an opera singer. When she was growing up, she was very much interested in music, had a beautiful voice, but my great-grandfather, her father, did not allow her to pursue any career besides becoming a housewife and to have children. That was her job because she was a woman and that was the appropriate role in those days for young women in his mind. So she never got to pursue her dream and she kind of regretted it her whole life. Because it was really something she had always wanted to do, and my mother grew up with that. She is an only child, so she grew up with that. And when she noticed, I think I was around 5 or 6 years old, she noticed I was always singing all of the time. She thought, oh, maybe she's inherited this from my mother, so I will give my daughter the chance to have voice lessons and to pursue this if she really loves it, because I know what it's like to see someone who did not have that option. So my mom didn't care if I was girl or boy, she just gave me the opportunity. And then when I was 10 years old, she introduced me to opera because of that whole correlation. It was then that I thought, okay, I have to know what this is, I have to explore this art form, I want to become an opera singer myself, and my mother and my father fully supported me in pursuing that. I just, I had to make an agreement with them that if I were to have lessons being paid for by them, especially to become an opera singer, which my mother knew was very, very difficult, I really had to be very dedicated and give the time to those lessons and to my practicing, and I did. I had to study an hour every single day. If I didn't do that hour, I couldn't hang out with friends or go to the mall or do things like normal children. But I was happy for this discipline, and I think that's really essentially what helped me become, let's say, made for opera. It's the association with my heritage, my grandmother, my mother giving me the opportunity, but then of course putting in the work myself because I loved it.
Have you ever heard your grandma singing?
Yes, she used to sing to me all the time, and so I have two sisters. I have one older and one younger, and she used to sing to us all the time. And once she sang for me, because I asked her when I was a little bit older, I asked her to sing her favorite song, and she did. And my grandmother had a beautiful voice. She really did. And she got to watch me actually singing and starting my career, let's say like the first formative years of my career when I was a teenager. And she passed away when I was 19, so. She was very proud, and she was also very happy that her daughter, my mother, was giving me the opportunity. So when I was 10, my mom introduced me to opera through a VHS tape that she had borrowed from the library. And it was the Met's La Bohème with Teresa Estradas, José Carreras, Renato Scotto, but playing Musetta, mm-hmm. not playing Mimi. And she let me watch it, and I was dead at the end. Dead in a sense of like completely overtaken by the emotions I was feeling, and the fact that I hadn't realized up until that moment that music could express human emotions in such a meaningful and impactful way. Up until that point, I had only studied maybe some pop or some musical theater, but I never felt truly connected to that kind of music. It was only until I started studying opera that I felt completely connected to music somehow. And so after this VHS experience, which actually my mother never returned to the library, we kind of stole it because I was so obsessed with this VHS tape and I kept studying it. And also at some point the tape broke because I was watching it too much, and my parents had to take it to like an expert of VHS tapes and repair it. So this obviously was the viral moment for me. I absolutely caught the opera virus from this experience. Never a plan B. If there were to have been a plan B, it would have been a very like fanciful plan B, like, oh, I want to become a mermaid, a professional mermaid, or you know, something like this. But no, opera, becoming an opera singer was always my goal.
Yeah.
And actually, I'll say, which I find to be the thing I'm most proud of, I never wanted to become an opera singer because of the glamour or because I wanted to be famous or make money, or Because I didn't know if opera singers, except for Pavarotti, but I didn't know opera singers could be famous or could make a lot of money. I didn't know what it was when I was a child. All I knew was I wanted to become an opera singer because of the music. I wanted to be a servant of this music. And I'm so happy that my feelings about that are still the same as they were when I was a kid. If tomorrow I were to be stripped of, let's say, the accolades that I've had up until this point, and no one would know me and I wouldn't make as much money or whatever, I wouldn't regret anything. I would still keep going the way that I'm going now because I love what I do. And I've said also in the past, if there is a moment where I don't love it any longer, I'll stop. I would be comfortable just stopping and maybe becoming a professional mermaid.
In her newest studio album, Nadine is lending her voice to three truly tragic ladies of the opera: Violetta Valeri, Lucia di Lammermoor, and Juliette Capulet. Three examples of women suffering from male dominance and bad environment. They all find peace only in death. Not all of them may have historical paragons, but for sure women like them existed and suffered in a time where their rights were limited.
Starting exactly from my grandmother's story, that story absolutely influenced, made for opera to kind of go in this direction. My grandmother never had a voice, right? She was never given the opportunity to share her voice. And so she, in a sense, was voiceless. With her life and her passions. And then it was given to me so generously, and I never take that for granted. So I think sometimes as a woman in opera, I mostly play female characters like the ones of Juliette, Violetta, Lucia, because these women were composed and these stories were created in a time where that's how it was. And so I guess the way I can give them a voice and give them power is to acknowledge that. To acknowledge that it today, thank God, we don't live like that. Let's say the majority. Because there are still women and still people in general who do experience this oppression in their lives. And I think it's important to acknowledge that and to showcase, let's say, when speaking about it, that it's wrong. And that as humans, we can all make our interactions with each other better, more positive, and giving opportunities to people to seek out their freedoms and find their own destinies.
Juliette and Violetta are quite new contracts to her repertoire list, but especially Lucia is one of her signature roles for many years now. And also now, Nadine's schedule is full with four different productions coming up. She already portrayed the Scottish lady in productions in Barcelona, San Francisco, or Venice.
I also, as a person, and as a growing person, I experience different things in my life as I grow older. Each day, something kind of new happens, even if it's small. So me as a human being and as a woman, I'm always changing because I'm experiencing life. And if I'm changing, then every time I go back to a Lucia or even Gilda, who is another person, a character I'm always playing, I have no choice but to play her, to think about her in a different way, because I'm not the same person as I was, let's say, a year ago or even just a couple of months ago. And I love that about creating art. We grow with our art form, we grow with these characters because we grow, essentially. So Lucia is always changing for me, and I'm always finding new things about her and about her surroundings that I either missed before or that I didn't put so much importance on before. And even if we want to talk about technicalities, vocally she's changing with me because I'm changing vocally. I'm getting older, I'm learning more about vocal technique, and I feel like in some ways I'm still improving the things that I want to improve technically. I almost feel like I'm never going to be finished. Even when I reach, let's say, 60 years old, I'll never stop learning about how to sing. So that aspect also changes a lot. If we talk about also singers of the past, the difference from what we hear, let's say when they're in their late 20s or early 30s, and then into their mid 40s and 50s, you hear a very big difference. And you can understand that these artists, no matter how famous and how prestigious they were on the great opera stages of the world, they were constantly learning and relearning about how to sing and their techniques. It's the point of growing vocally and growing artistically. There's always a place to go, and I think there's always a lesson to learn.
There have been many violettas, Lucias or Juliettes, before Nadine Sierra touched them. Some of them we are calling immortal prima donnas, such as Maria Callas. But whom do we find in the playlist of Nadine Sierra?
Definitely the number one when I was very young was Freni, Mirella Freni, of course. Why? Because she had such a beautiful voice, and she just was so good at singing. I mean, the singing was just so healthy, so lush, and very genuine. You could hear very clearly that she didn't have to manipulate her sound or manufacture anything. It was kind of like Pavarotti. It was just how it was. And I love that. I really love that genuine quality in singers. So Freni was one. I mentioned Pavarotti, he was absolutely another one, and he still is. I love listening to him today, mostly because of how he sang in Italian. It's so perfect and so clear, but yet so rounded, and, mm-hmm. and he just, I think instinctively, he made so many great decisions as to how he would sing in his own language. But yes, I'd say the number one was Freni. Yeah.
Did you ever work with her?
Never, which makes me so upset. Mm. I never worked with her, I never got to meet her, and I never just got to tell her. Like, even if I, you know, had never the chance to work with her, just to tell her.
The fangirl moment.
You are a miracle, and thank you. Yeah. That's it.
Maybe it's like choosing your favorite child, but I wanted to know if there is one of these three characters which is more close to her than the others.
Yeah, I think Lucia, probably. Mm-hmm. But Violetta, there are things I really understand about all three. But yes, there is something I very much understand about Lucia and Violetta. The feeling of not kind of having the stress and the anxiety of not having another choice because of the moments in your life where you feel powerless. I've definitely experienced those moments in my life. And I've especially experienced those moments, if we're going to get very personal, I've experienced those moments in my personal romantic relationships. And I know how heartbreaking that can be. So I get the oppression, honestly, that's associated with all three, yeah. Because they're feminine characters representing femininity, and thus sometimes femininity is seen as a weakness, yeah. Unfortunately. And it's something that I would really love to, I guess, change, or just for people to see it in a different way, to not see it as a weakness, to see it more as a strength, more as a doorway to something different.
On stage, do we allow that it comes through,
yes.
In your singing?
Oh yeah. Honestly, I'm not able to not show it, because I'm a Latina. My culture, my family heritage. We're very, we're very outspoken. We're not afraid to show, certain kinds of emotions of ourselves. A lot of people think of Latin people as having hot blood, or it's kind of true. And so I'm not really capable of being reserved, let's say.
It.
Yeah, I'm not really capable of that. And also I find being able to express that very openly and willingly in these characters, it's very therapeutic. That's the other thing. I do think that music is very, very healing. And for me, absolutely, it's kind of like a therapy. Each time. Sometimes I can leave it behind and say, oh, thank God that that's not my current situation. Or sometimes I do take it with me, and there are similarities still. Especially since I talked about even like my personal romantic relationships. Yeah, there are sometimes I leave characters and I think, oh God, but I live some of these things too in my personal life.
I feel you.
Juliette. I feel you. I know what it's like, but it's okay. I mean, I'm a human being. I give myself the choice to have these things, and I'm not like, I don't allow myself to become depressed over it. It just is what it is. It's life.
It's important to find your balance, also in your private life, to get rid of all the opera ghosts.
I'll say the immediate response to that is good food. this always helps. So like after a really great performance, it's time to eat something, because singing takes a lot of energy and exertion. I mean, we know that. So that, but also more importantly is like having connection with my family and my friends. This helps a lot. Because also, those relationships bring you back to reality. Because I know we as artists, we play, dress up, and we enjoy it on stage, and it's a lot of fun. But then, we do at some point come back to the world and face our real world experiences, issues as well. And I would say that. My family, friends, and good food.
Such complex roles, such as Violetta in La Traviata, you have many possibilities to complete your knowledge. You can visit the grave of the historical role model Marie Duplessis in Paris, or read the novel written by Alexandre Dumas. But also vocally, there is much work to do, preparing your body like an athlete for the run.
What I did for Violetta was I studied the role with my very dear vocal coach. His name is Kamal Khan. He's very dear to me because I've known him now for 21 years. I met him when I was 13 years old, and he was the one who essentially gave me my first start in the opera industry, let's say. And so he came to Florida, also his husband too. I said, both of you need to come here. We need to be in a good environment with a lot of sunshine and just study Violetta and study everything about Violetta. And also study some of the other women who have sung and played Violetta and kind of figure out how I can interpret her in my own way, but having inspiration from a lot of the traditions that have been given to this role, which is not easy, actually. Because sometimes you want to copy other people because you're so inspired by them. You think, oh my God, that worked so beautifully. I want to do the same. But then it's not genuine. It's not true to yourself. And that intense work with him and the work that I put into it, it really helped me find who my Violetta is. And find also my inner Violetta with my own personal experiences in life. So this is how I approached her. And it was very intense, our working together. And we did it every day for maybe 3-4 hours a day, which was intense a little bit. But it really helped. It helped a lot. It was like, I felt like an athlete working with my trainer and preparing for the Olympics. That's how it felt. And also, Kamal and his husband, they stayed with me and my parents in my parents' home in Florida. So it was kind of like that old school idea of like, oh, the teacher's living with the singer.
Camp.
And we were having dinners together and lunches
this
together. Yeah, waking up in the morning like, hi, how are you? And talking about Violetta.
Yeah.
We've done this because we also did a very similar thing with Lucia, because he also helped me a lot with Lucia. So we've done it enough times that, yes, we've done it frequently, but this was far more intense than any of the other times we've tried to work in this way. And I think actually from now on, I will probably stick to this method because I loved it so much. I enjoyed it so much, and it brought so much to me as a singer. And I felt super prepared for Violetta.
Wow, it sounds amazing.
It was cool.
Also, an interesting thing you mentioned is about listening the recordings from the past.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's always this stigma like, no, you please don't listen because you're copying.
There's so much that you can learn. You can, I mean, even if you learn something so basic as how these, especially Italian singers, let's say, how they're pronouncing the words or which words they're emphasizing. If Italian is not your mother tongue, it helps a lot. Or you can learn the different versions of how conductors conducted certain passages that you're not so clear on your own. It's not just about listening to the singer. It's also listening to the musicians that were associated with that performance or that recording, or, as I said, yes, the conductor. It's all, and it can inspire you, even if you don't have to copy someone, but to have that inspiration, it can spark your own ideas.
There's this variety in Nadine Sierra's repertoire, what makes it really hard to give her a label. But at the same time, it's only a logical result of her great abilities.
I love music so much. And I find that I become more complex as an artist in a very fulfilling way. And it just, it brings new lessons learned to the next repertoire that I want to perform or I want to learn something from. I just feel like I can grow with this music the more I learn and the more I study and the more I experience different kinds of composers or styles or and singing in different languages as well. So yeah, I like to perform all kinds of music, and I find it a bit more enriching.
The audience here in Germany can be happy to get to hear Nadine quite often, may it be as nowadays in the Philharmonie singing Mahler or at the Staatsoper unter den Linden Berlin, where she is one of Daniel Barenboim's favorite choices for roles such as Susanna or Nanetta.
I love working in Germany. One, because everything in Germany is very clear and very organized and very passionate about the art form itself. Not just from the people working within the art form, but the people experiencing it, the ones who attend it and support it. There's an endless support for what we do here in Germany. And I feel appreciated, and I feel that the music is appreciated, which is wonderful. So big sense of community, that's one. Then the other is I've been given so many opportunities which have helped me. They've helped me in my career, they've helped me artistically, and without those opportunities you can't really grow. Without those experiences it's hard to feel like you're progressing as an artist. So thank you. You've given me the opportunity as a country, you know. So there's that. And yes, working with Barenboim has been so wonderful and fulfilling. I love him as a musician, as a conductor, and I truly love him as a man. He's a very special person in my life. And he's taught me a lot. I've learned a lot from him. So yes, working in Berlin has been a joy, a real pleasure.
Making music in times like ours seems strange. Not only a certain virus made it hard for musicians to survive and to be able to continue, but also there's a war not too far away from all of us in the Ukraine. What can we, the artists, do to make a contribution and to heal the mental wounds?
We are not just artists, we are human beings. Each one of us on this planet matters in this situation. Because all of us on this planet have been threatened in this situation, right? It's not just an invasion, it's also an insult to the entire world and to the entire human race, which we are all part of. Even if, you know, you're not a political person, it doesn't matter. This is a humanitarian disaster and issue. And we all have to rally with each other. We're all connected at the end of the day. You know, this is an earth that we all inhabit. And we have to protect it, and we have to protect each other. And if you are an artist, or you're a celebrity, or you are a public figure and have a voice for the voiceless, you should absolutely speak out against anything that causes disruption or suffering or evil or whatever it may be that's negative to other people. I think it's your responsibility. I really, truly think it's your responsibility. This is not a moment to be politically correct or to be diplomatic or to walk on eggshells. No, this is a very clear and understood threat to the entire world. Yeah. We could
to
be
everyone.
Yeah, to everyone. We could be facing World War III. Yeah. So I think we all have to kind of put our agendas aside. And remember, you are a human being first. I personally hope, from speaking of the Ukraine and our world, I hope that we can come to a more peaceful place. I hope that this will not leave an everlasting harm and suffering on people, especially the Ukrainian people at the moment, because we don't know how far this will extend. So personally, I hope this situation is resolved. I hope that also the COVID situation keeps resolving itself. I think it's a thing that has to sort of resolve itself after a while. I hope that we can all still make music together and give back to our communities with which they've given us, you know, given us the opportunity and the platform to perform and do what we love. And I just hope for peaceful times. Personally, that's really what I hope for. And safety for my family, my friends, and of course the families and the friends of everyone else around the planet. Yeah. Want to just keep growing as an artist and as a person. That's the overall plan. If I had to have to choose something specific, I think it would be this Lucia I'm going to do at the Met. It's a new production. It's a very modern production. I'm working with this director, Simon Stone, for the first time. And I really admire his work. I think he's very clever with his ideas. And I think this Lucia is going to be very thought-provoking. No, it's not a traditional Lucia, and I know that there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of a discussion behind that. But, you know, the thing about art, right? And like artists, we talk about artists having a voice for the voiceless. You can do that with productions as well. You can pinpoint certain issues that are happening now in the world if you modernize certain productions and highlight those issues, right? And I think Simon Stone has that in mind. And that's why I'm very excited for this Lucia, because it's going to highlight something that is really very much existing today and what's also existing in young people today that should be talked about. And if this inspires those discussions, then I'm absolutely happy to be part of that project. So the Lucia at the Met is one I'm excited about. Go where my voice wants to go. And